Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What was the message? I think what I said to the staff was love, that we've got to exercise. God is love. He's also light, and we have to walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, what is He going to do this year? Well, I offer that, Wendy, with humility, saying, let's see what happens. And, you know, check it out when the year's over. Was I right or wrong? But number one, I think that the world is going to be in chaos this year. We're not going to have a unified world. And I think sometime during the year, there's going to be some kind of a credit crisis. And I think China is going to lead the way.
That's Pat Robertson recently making a prediction for actually this fat past year. Hedging his bets. Doesn't it sound like it? We'll wait and see what happens, see if I'm right or I'm wrong. But I think this is what's going to happen. God's going to do this kind of thing, a credit crisis in China. He made other predictions as well. Now, why is it that televangelists and teachers like Pat Robertson, who claim to pretty much have a hotline to God, getting on an almost daily basis new words, new revelations from God on a regular basis, why do they kind of paint themselves into a corner? They have to make predictions like this. Why is that? Why is he impelled every year to tell his listeners, to assure his listeners, that he knows from God what's going to happen in the coming year? Of course, we'll just wait and see. Time will tell with that particular caveat. We're going to be doing a little bit of This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll be talking about the accuracy of Pat Robertson's predictions for this last year, 2014. We'll also get an update on the apologies of megachurch pastor Perry Noble. He preached a sermon on Christmas Eve that he claims God gave him the night before. God pretty much insisted him that he shelve his previously planned sermon and preach this one. And in the course of that sermon, he quite clearly said that he had recently discovered from a Jewish friend in Israel that there's no Hebrew word for command. He drew upon that, again, claiming that God gave him this message. He drew upon that, saying, well, if there's no Hebrew word for command, then the Ten Commandments can't be commandments. They must be promises, promises that will help the unbeliever say yes to Jesus. And then, remarkably, he proceeded to rewrite the Ten Commandments right there in front of the congregation and edit them to turn them from commandments into promises. Well, he's had to apologize for a couple things, not everything. We'll see what Chris thinks about that. Then the book that was all the rage several years ago, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, published by Tyndale. Well, the boy who said he came back from heaven now says he didn't. He only said so because he wanted attention. And, of course, it got him a book deal as well. We'll be talking about all of that on This Week in Pop American Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's that game we like to play with our listeners every Friday at the end of the live broadcast week, where we take four sound bites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We bring them all together. We play them for you. You listen, and then you vote. Your vote determines which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or you can vote in advance or at the time at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We will be giving away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week coming up in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Again, our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at IssuesETC.org, our Twitter address at IssuesETC, or Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He joins us every week for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Now, he's not alone in this, but Pat Robertson has for years claimed that he gets direct revelations from God, new extra-biblical revelations from God. Why does a guy who makes such claims, why does he pretty much have to be able to predict the future?
Well, that's a great question. You see, he claims that he hears from God the Holy Spirit. And so because he's hearing from God the Holy Spirit, I think in some senses what people expect is that, well, if you're claiming a prophetic gift, then why don't you tell us what God is saying is going to be happening? And so, these types of predictions that he gives are supposed to, in a sense, buttress his claim that he's hearing from God the Holy Spirit. And this has become like an annual tradition for him. If you remember correctly, back before the presidential election, the last presidential election, that year, in January, Pat Robertson actually claimed that the Lord had told him that Mitt Romney was going to win the presidential election. And in 2013, he did not do his normal thing. He claimed that that the weather was so bad and the snow was bad and icy and slick that he wasn't able to go up and be secluded and hear what God was telling him. But in 2014, he refired up his normal thing. He claims he's got some kind of cabin that he goes to up in Virginia, maybe up in the mountains, and that's in the solitude the Lord is speaking to him. And so that kind of thing kind of creates the aura of this guy has authority, and that authority comes from God himself.
But we do need to kind of recognize, especially in light of something we'll be talking about a little bit later, we do need to recognize that's kind of the old school approach to I see visions, I dream dreams, God talks to me personally. These claims to be literally prophetic or forthtelling, a lot of the people, great and small, who claim that wouldn't be so bold as to do what Pat Robertson does. I mean, at least to predict the future, but they will cast their visions, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It is a little bit old school to kind of predict the future, but the funny thing is that Pat Robertson's not alone. I mean, before the year turned, Kenneth Copeland, his son-in-law and his daughter went on the airwaves and gave their, what they believe prophetic visions and predictions for the year 2015. And so, and then you got crackpots like Patricia King and others, everyone claiming these words from the Lord. And then you have Cindy Jacobs herself, who is kind of an interesting feature within the New Apostolic Reformation and in charismatic circles. She convenes, she's part of what she calls a Council of Prophets. And every year the Council of Prophets meets in different cities. This year they met somewhere in Texas near Dallas-Fort Worth. And they all kind of sat together and said, here's what the Lord is telling me and what the Lord is telling me. And Cindy Jacobs became the secretary for, kind of taking all of these different words from the Lord and putting them into some kind of a coherent thing that God is supposedly speaking right now. So it's not as, let's just put it this way, it's not as unusual as you would think. But Pat Robertson doesn't meet with a council of prophets or things like that. But what he does, he kind of hangs it out there by making these prophecies every year.
Let's listen to all of Pat Robertson's predictions for this last year.
What was the message? I think what I said to the staff was love, that we've got to exercise. God is love. He's also light, and we have to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, what is he going to do this year? Well, now, I offer that, Wendy, with humility, saying, let's see what happens. And, check it out when the year's over. Was I right or wrong? But number one, I think that the world is going to be in chaos this year. We're not going to have a unified world. And I think sometime during the year there's going to be some kind of a credit crisis, and I think China is going to lead the way. I think we'd be very sad. That whole economy is like a house of cards, and when it starts falling, it can affect the entire world because the Chinese purchases of raw material and goods, you look at all the markets, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's copper, whether it's aluminum, whether it's steel, whether it's timber, all those things. sucked in by the Chinese economy. So if they start having trouble, it'll be trouble for everybody else. The other thing is, I do believe that the Iranians will have a nuclear device before the end of the year. Mm. And Obama is using a tactic of containment. That's not going to work. We used to say we're not going to let them have it. Now they're going to say, well, we're just going to contain it. Well, that's a bad policy. The next thing is, I do believe that the Republicans will win control of the Congress, but they will not have a veto-proof majority, so they'll be able to pass some stuff, but unless they can get Democrats to go along with them, they cannot override a presidential veto. The other thing is, I think that the president is going to be severely, severely hampered. I think America is going to turn against him much more so than now, as that Affordable Care thing starts biting hard as it is. He's going to be discredited terribly. And as a process, I think that he's going to withdraw. He likes Hawaii. He spent a lot of time in Hawaii, and he probably figured, you know, okay, I've done my thing. Now let's go surfing.
All right. Those are the predictions that Pat Robertson made for his viewers for this last year, Chris. I noticed that apparently most of God's activity is, with the exception of the Chinese economy, going to be focused on the United States.
Yeah, so apparently, you know, again, I like to say he climbed Mount Virginia in order to hear directly from the Lord. First thing he said, that we need to exercise love and that God is light. Well, neither one of those do I need the prophet Pat Robertson, because God's word says that God is love and that he's light. So I don't need Pat Robertson reiterating that. That was kind of a useless prophecy. He claimed that there's going to be chaos in the world and that we're not going to have a unified world. That's what I would call a safe bet. Which year could you point to where we could say we had a unified world and there wasn't chaos in the world? So that's almost kind of like a useless prophecy altogether. And then he claimed that there's going to be a global credit crisis led by the Chinese economy. I'm not an economist, but I just don't remember all the headlines regarding the big credit crisis caused by the Chinese economy. So clearly, that didn't happen. I don't recall the stories that have confirmed that in the year 2014, the Iranians now have a nuke. So we're going to have to say that one didn't come to pass. He did get the fact that the Republicans won the House and the Senate. But the reality is that going into 2014, many of the political pundits said that was probably going to happen, and you didn't need a word from the Lord from that. And then this idea that, you know, in 2014, Obama would withdraw, you know, kind of become an indigent president. Do the words executive orders have any merit at this point? The way I kind of count it up, one, two, three things were kind of nonsensical. Three of them clearly were wrong, and only one you can say really actually happened. Well, the question then comes up is, if that's really the case, I mean, if he's really, his batting average is really that low, you know, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven prophecies, and only one you can really point to and say, yeah, he got that one right, one out of seven, does that mean that Pat Robertson's hearing from the Lord? Well, the scriptural answer is that he's not hearing from the Lord. Deuteronomy 18 makes it clear that if somebody's hearing from God, that everything they say is actually going to come to happen. Deuteronomy 18:20 says this: "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how will we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously." So I think we can objectively point to Pat Robertson's 2014 predictions, as well as previous failed predictions, to definitively say, without a doubt, Pat Robertson is not hearing from God the Holy Spirit. And by claiming that he is hearing from the Holy Spirit, he's putting on a pretense, And in reality, he meets the biblical qualifications for a false prophet, and that would mean he's somebody that Christians should not be listening to, somebody whom they should be avoiding, and somebody that they should be warning people about, because false prophets are not doing the work of the Lord. Are they proclaiming the word of the Lord? Doesn't matter how blessed you feel by the feel-good segments on the 700 Club. The reality is biblically, this man is a false prophet, and he's to be shunned and put out of the church and called to repent, because he's not speaking the truth. He's not hearing from God.
Chris Rosebro is our guest on this Friday afternoon, January the 16th. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity. When we come back, we spoke last week of Perry Noble's Christmas Eve sermon, where he said Hebrew has no word for a commandment. The Ten Commandments aren't Ten Commandments. They're Ten Promises. And he rewrote the Ten Commandments. He's issued a few apologies since, and we'll find out more about that with Chris Rosebro. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
On the day of judgment, I don't think that the Lord is going to say, well, you may have celebrated these blasphemous cartoons, but at least you upheld free speech.
The Jesus he's preaching isn't the biblical Jesus. The law he preaches isn't the biblical law. He's literally calling his shots and doing the work of the other team.
The pro-choice position at its very core is a position of bigotry. When you divide the room or the womb based on subjectively chosen arbitrary standards, you no longer have a commitment to human equality.
At least those news magazines in the past, even when they were hit pieces of the sort, they were pretty careful to at least balance the liberal argument with conservative arguments. No such pretense in this particular Newsweek cover story. It's a hit piece of real rhetorical violence.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites. You call and email and send Twitter or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes determine which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week live this Friday afternoon, January the 16th. Chris Rosebro is our guest in the meantime. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity. Briefly review us on the story of Perry Noble's Ten Commandments Christmas Eve sermon and his claims thereabouts and what's happened since, Chris.
Sure. On Christmas Eve, Perry Noble claimed that the Lord gave him kind of a direct order to deliver a particular message. And the message he delivered, he announced that after having a conversation with a guy by the name of Aryeh, who apparently is some kind of a driver who lives in Israel, that he learned that there's no Hebrew word for command, and so he, going with this information that he wrote down, he decided to take it upon himself to rewrite the Ten Commandments as promises. And all of this hinged upon the fact that God told him to deliver this message, and based upon the faulty information that there was no Hebrew word for command. This created quite a stir on the internet, and there were quite a few people who are in Christian media who challenged Perry Noble on this, and in fact, we did a whole segment on it last week.
Okay, so he had issued, the last time I checked, he had issued at least one apology, which was, well, it was, I think I got a couple facts wrong kind of an apology. What's happened since?
Well, funny enough, shortly after we got off the air, Perry Noble put a blog post up last Friday night, kind of an interesting day to release such a thing, where he issued basically two apologies. The one apology was for saying that there was no Hebrew word for command. He was chastened and had to agree that there was a Hebrew word for command. And then he also took the occasion to apologize for taking a swipe at his critics on social media. In a Twitter, tweet that he sent out, and so he apologized for that. But what he did not apologize for, he did not apologize for saying that God told him to say this, nor did he apologize for rewriting the Ten Commandments as promises. He's still, in a way, trying to make it clear that he really did feel that God was telling him to say this, and he was really kind of walking a fine line. So you almost have to kind of parse his words the way you would have to parse the words of the former President Bill Clinton. There's certain things he's apologizing for, certain things he's not apologizing for, but he did not apologize for saying that God told him this.
I mean, he could hardly have maintained the position he did, that there's no Hebrew word for command, because anybody with access to the internet can discover that. They didn't even have to have a knowledge of Hebrew. But that, of course, was never the real issue here, was it? I mean, his getting his facts wrong on Hebrew lexicography or vocabulary was kind of the tip of the iceberg, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the tip of the iceberg, because the way one person put it, I think James Duncan from Anderson University said it well, that Perry Noble is pretty much the poster child for seminary. Listen to him, and you'll understand why it's important the pastors go to seminary. That if he had finished seminary, if he had studied the biblical languages, if he would actually take as much time doing sermon prep and making sure that he rightly understands God's word as he does putting together little mini focus groups to see how his jokes will go over, and yes, he does actually do that, then he wouldn't have had this problem in the first place. If he rightly understood the proper distinction of law and gospel, he would have understood how the New Testament explains that the purpose of the law is to show us our sin and need for a Savior, and he would have had no need to rewrite the commandments as promises in the first place. So this whole gaffe regarding his misunderstanding of this Israeli driver, who was basically just trying to tell him in Exodus chapter 20, there is the word commandment doesn't appear, and this is true. These are the 10 davarim; these are the 10 sayings of the Lord. But he took that to mean a certain thing, and he misunderstood it. And that misunderstanding further actually exposed his lack of in-depth biblical theological knowledge and understanding, which is what he should have in the first place if he's going to be a pastor.
I found in his apology some admission that, I don't know anything about this stuff. He didn't come out and say, I probably shouldn't have been talking about something I know absolutely nothing of, but he more or less admitted that. What concerns you when you have someone of the kind of influence and of the kind of kind of self-promotory character as Perry Noble, basically saying, look, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about, but of course you should come to my church and hear what I have to say.
Yeah, the more troubling statement, kind of in the same line in that apology, he basically said that he admitted that he had never done as much research as he had to do in order to get this right, finally, regarding whether or not there was a Hebrew word for command. That is a telling statement, because the amount of research that he did in order to find out whether or not he spoke the truth should be the amount of research that he's putting in week after week after week to make sure he's rightly handling God's word. And here's the problem. Perry Noble has, no joke, the largest Southern Baptist church in the United States of America. The largest. And Perry Noble wants to be your pastor's pastor. In fact, he, like Mark Driscoll before him, Perry Noble put, you know, basically markets himself as a pastor to pastor, a leader to leaders. And so, and every year he holds the New Spring Leadership Conference, where people from around the country and the world travel to Anderson, South Carolina, to learn how to be pastors from Perry Noble. But see, the thing is that this whole thing has shown that he does not have the biblical depth to be a pastor. And if he doesn't have the biblical depth to be a pastor, he certainly doesn't have the biblical depth or knowledge to actually be a pastor to pastors. This is actually, you know, exposed, you know, Perry Noble for what he is. He's pretty much a stand-up comedian he's a gifted communicator. Guy's sense of timing on his jokes is absolutely brilliant. His handling of the biblical text shows that he hasn't met the biblical qualifications to be a pastor.
Okay, another story that I wanted you to explain to us, a book that was published that was, I take it, relatively successful, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, title says it all, was recently recalled by its publisher, and why?
The reason why is because the boy, you know, the name of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, it's touted as a true story, published by Tyndale House, and this is Tyndale's version of you know, Heaven is for Real. And this is one book among, you know, three that are very prominent bestsellers that that people have dubbed, you know, these are books about heavenly tourism, is the way they put it. But Alex Malarkey has recanted his story and publicly stated that he did not die and that he did not go to heaven. And and that's kind of been the bombshell that, you know, has started people asking questions. This recently got written up in the Washington Post, who's covered the story, and they link to not only the message that was sent out by Alex Malarkey, you know, repudiating the story, saying this is not true, but they also link to a blog post by the written by the mother of Alex Malarkey, that where she basically says that she has been trying for years to get Tyndale to pull the book and has told them that this is fiction, this is not a true story. That they, and she has bemoaned the fact that she feels like her son and her have been manipulated and taken advantage of by Tyndale House, as well as Kevin Malarkey, Alex Malarkey's father. And, you know, kind of, this is still a story that's evolving. Literally, in the past couple of hours, the Pulpit and Pen website, which is run by a very prominent, outspoken Southern Baptist minister by the name of Jordan Hall, they have published email exchanges between a discerning Christian and, I think it's Justin Peters, and Ed Stetzer and Tom Rainer of Lifeway, that date back to May of last year, where they were informed that Alex's mother was saying the story was fiction, and that the kid himself was trying to get the story out that these are not true, and yet they would not act on that, and they kept the books in the Lifeway bookstores. And then, literally just a few minutes before we came on the air, Phil Johnson, who is the right-hand man to John MacArthur, he published on his website an email that he sent to Tyndale House back in May of last year, telling them and explicitly laying out that this is a fiction, and the reason he knows that is because Alex Malarkey and his mother had reached out to Phil Johnson and told them that this book is fiction. It's not really true. They're being exploited, and they're not really even the ones who were financially benefit from it. And so the evidence that's coming out to light on the internet right now shows that Tyndale House and Lifeway, you know, Lifeway bookstores from the SBC, they were told this book is fiction, and yet they did not pull this book. They did nothing. They did nothing until it came to light through a major media outlet.
Now, you've heard the term. We've heard it here. Our guests have used it, the Christian industrial complex. This is kind of the prime example of what can happen when Christianity becomes business, when it becomes an industry. Talk about that, Chris.
Yeah, no, we got to keep this in mind, is that many of the big house Christian publishers, they're not independent anymore. They're owned by bigger media companies, and the profit motive in these with these book publishers trumps any commitment to sound doctrine and putting out resources that will help people be good disciples of Jesus Christ who rightly understand the scriptures. Instead, when profit trumps truth, they're willing to cut corners and basically put stuff out there that's theologically shady if it's going to sell many books, because ultimately at the end of the day, these publishing houses are no longer committed to the truth. They're committed to making sure that they turn a profit because they're owned by these bigger companies. So we've got to keep that in mind. But the problem is that these companies still, for the most part, the people who run them or who sit directly over them, these people are Christians. They're not pagans. And so it's clear that the evangelical industrial complex has got a problem on their hands. And the Driscoll thing, the Driscoll blow up regarding the plagiarism in Driscoll's book brought this to light. And this is, kind of yet another example of the same thing. This isn't plagiarism. This is outright fiction being passed off as nonfiction. And there's a big problem here. But this story is going to blow up, and I get the feeling there's some people who are going to lose their jobs as a result of this.
With about 30 seconds, what does it say that there's so much appeal for these kind of books?
Well, Scripture says that there will a time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap up to themselves teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And unfortunately, I think we're living in a day exactly like that. And the publishers have found that they can make a huge profit by catering and telling people what they want to hear rather than telling them what they need to hear.
Fighting for the Faith begins in about a half hour. What's on tap for your program?
We're going to do an email segment today. We're going to take a look at we're going to talk about the developing controversy, and then we're going to try to also get in the prophecies from Kenneth Copeland for 2015.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. That's piratechristianradio.com, coming up here in about a half hour after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, playing that little game we like to play at the end of the week, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Listen for the four soundbites we'll play for you, and then get ready to call, email, Twitter, and vote 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. Buy the book Liturgy right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net. I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.